Does anyone here enjoy your free time? Raise your hand if you enjoy your free time. Now, one of my favorite things to do in my free time is solving Rubik's Cubes. Anyone here ever attempted to solve a Rubik's Cube before? Okay, quite a few people. Now, if you Google my name, Randon Foldhazy, one of the first things that's gonna pop up is my World Cubing Association profile. And on there, you'll see that I've been to 16 official competitions for solving the Rubik's Cube, and I've done 475 official solves. And I assure you, I've done way more than that, tens of thousands of solves outside of the competition to get ready for those competitions. So I like solving Rubik's Cubes. Now, I actually have a picture from a competition me and my brother went to in 2015. That's me and my brother Regan. We went in Kansas to a competition in 2015. But I went to a competition even last year, so it's something I've been doing throughout my whole life. Started when my parents got me a Rubik's Cube for Christmas in 2013. I was really excited to learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube. So I mixed it up right away and I couldn't solve it right away. Now, I wanna know, is there anyone here who wants to attempt to solve a Rubik's Cube? You've never done it before, who wants to try it out? Anyone here wanna try out solving a Rubik's Cube? Just raise your hand, I need to see. Anyone wanna try to solve it? You've never solved it before. Anyone wanna try? You wanna try? I see people pointing at each other that if you volunteer someone else, you gotta go up. I don't know, Dylan or Seth, you guys wanna come on up? Okay, everyone, Seth's coming up. Give it up for Seth. Now, have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube before? He's never solved a Rubik's Cube. So I already kind of mixed it up. You can start solving it, try to figure it out. How much time should we give him? Like a minute? An hour? Well, you just stay right here and we'll check up on you in a minute and see how much you've done. Now, what I did when I first got my Rubik's Cube for Christmas and I mixed it up, I looked up on YouTube how to solve the Rubik's Cube. YouTube, there's a lot of real videos on how to solve a Rubik's Cube, but there's a lot of fake videos on how to solve a Rubik's Cube. Now, he's doing the right thing. He's trying to search it up. He might need that help. Now, I learned that doing the same four moves over and over on the Rubik's Cube does not magically solve it. So if a YouTube video tells you to do that, that's a fake video. How to solve the Rubik's Cube. Once I actually learned how to do that, I realized that in order to get better, to get faster at it, you had to practice a lot. So I practiced a lot, and I realized I could only turn the Rubik's Cube so fast. Like my fingers wanted to go faster than what the cube could turn. So what I learned is you have to get a speed cube, a fake Rubik's Cube that's made by a third-party company in order to get a faster time when you're solving the Rubik's Cube. So I found out I needed to get a fake Rubik's Cube in order to get faster at solving it. I thought that was crazy. So when it came to my 13th birthday in 2014, I asked for a new type of Rubik's Cube, a speed cube. Now, it can be hard to figure out what's really real and what's really fake. Now today, you might be here in person or watching online, and you're wondering, is hope really real? Is there really hope for this world, or is the world just doomed as we know it? Today, our goal is to ask and answer this question. Is hope real? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got good news. Hope is found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. Still going good? Okay, he's not good, guys. You got a little more time, okay? We got a little more time. Now, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 10. If you want to open your Bible apps on your phone to that passage, it'll also be on the screens. Now, Jesus and his disciples, they had traveled across the Jordan, and at this time, Jesus was starting to get known, so crowds of people were coming to follow Jesus and asking him questions, and Jesus, he would teach them. Now, while he was in this town across Jordan, something pretty interesting happened. We're going to read Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It says, "One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it.' Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them." Let's pray. God, I thank you that you give us this word today. God, just speak to us this morning and let us be open to hearing what you have to say. In your name we pray, amen. Now, maybe you've heard this story of kids coming to Jesus before, maybe not, but one of the biggest takeaways from this story is for us to have faith like little kids. Kids are trusting and they'll believe so easily. Now, when you have faith like a little kid, you have no doubt in your mind that God is real. Then why is it so hard for so many people to believe in the hope that's found in Jesus? See, I think we have to take a different perspective on this story in order to answer that question. You see, there's a saying that's been very common throughout children are to be seen and not, yeah, you got it, not heard. And yet, Jesus, he had a different perspective. Jesus cared about those kids. What I think Jesus wants us to realize is that children are to be seen and heard. Now, Seth, you're still going on the Rubik's Cube, making some progress. He's got some of the yellow side putting together, so that's good. Good work. You got like 30 more seconds, okay? 30 more seconds. Now, so for my 13th birthday, I asked for one of those third-party Rubik's Cubes that was a speed cube that would turn way better than my boring old Rubik's-branded cube. And I even showed my dad the exact cube I wanted online. It was called the Diane Zanchi. And I was really excited about getting the Diane Zanchi because that was the cube that all the speed cubers at competitions used. So they would go to competitions, they'd use the Diane Zanchi, and it would turn way better than the Rubik's brand cube. It was the fake Rubik's cube, but a real speed cube. And it came to be my birthday, and guess how one of the presents was shaped? A cube. It was wrapped up in a cube, and I got to opening that present. I unwrapped it. I was really excited, and I see the box for the cube, and it's got all this Chinese on it. I'm like, this is the real deal. It's got the Chinese on it, and it says, I can read it. It's like Diane Zanchi on there, like an English translation, and it was so cool to get that box, and I was really excited, and I was finally going to be a real speed cuber. So I opened the box that the cube was in, and I got it out, and it had the right logo on it. You see, it had like a special logo for the Diane Zanchi. I was really excited about it. Now, have you solved it yet?
No,
okay. So he's got a lot of progress. He's got almost all the yellow side. He's got a block here with the red, yellow, and blue. That's very good, but you're out of time. Sorry. Everyone give it up for Seth. He tried his best. You can head back to your seats. Now, it is very hard to solve a Rubik's Cube without knowing how to do it in the first place. Now, when I opened up that other Rubik's Cube, I realized something terrible. I took it out of the box. It had the right logo on it. It was a Diane Zanchi cube. But when I took it out, I realized there's something wrong with it. I had it in my hands. It looked right. It was the right brand. It was shiny. It was exciting. It was the speed cube. I was excited. But in my hands, I realized that this was the small version. Now, it was supposed to be 54 millimeters on every side, and I realized my dad got me the 42 millimeter version. It was the end of the world. I was so sad because it was so tiny. I was like, I want to turn it fast, and it turns faster than my Rubik's Cube brand. And it just was not right. It did not feel right in my hands. I was so excited to get what I wanted, but I realized what I was getting was a fake. I felt like I was getting pranked. I was getting tricked. I was like, why did my dad get me the wrong size? Now, I really did feel like I was tricked or duped or something, even though it was an honest mistake. You see, when something doesn't turn out the way we want it to, we start to feel bad for ourselves. And you see, we don't like fake things. We don't like to get our hopes up for something we aren't sure is going to happen. So we start to set our expectations low so we aren't crushed when something doesn't go our way. Now, maybe you might think that looking through, watching the news, looking at social media, that today, that there's no reason to have hope. We don't know what's going to happen across the world. We don't know what other countries are going to do. We don't know what our own country's going to do. We don't know what's going to happen with the people around us. First, a couple years ago, was the millennials ruining everything. And now, Gen Z is just making things worse every day. Now, if you're part of Gen Z and you're in the room, you might think that every generation before us is cringe or salty. Now, we can easily get sidetracked by watching the news and social media and start to believe that there's no hope for the world. There's no hope for the next generation. Why should we have hope? And when it comes to Jesus, we don't want to have hope in him if our expectations just aren't going to be met. We want to have hope, but we ask ourselves, what if? Now, I want to put ourselves in the shoes of the parents from Mark chapter 10. Imagine bringing your kid to see Jesus, and you got your kid following you. You're like, I'm going to go see Jesus. And all of a sudden, the disciple Peter comes up and is like, nah, you cannot bring that kid to Jesus. Like, this is not the place for the kid. And you're like, I just want to bring my kid to Jesus. Like, you don't want to be a Karen and be like doing the wrong thing and someone that's trying to get you to do the right thing. You talk about an embarrassing moment. But that wasn't how Jesus saw it. You see, Jesus has hope in the next generation. I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, verse 14 again. It says, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. The kingdom of God belongs to such as the children. Something that's absolutely crazy to me is how often God reminds me that his kingdom is for everybody. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, he doesn't care about your background, what you've done wrong. He doesn't care if you've turned away from him before and you've been running from him. See, he cares about you. He wants to have a relationship with you. See, I think when Jesus is saying, when we want to be like the children, that children are supposed to be seen and heard, we can take the example from the kids. I've got an experience firsthand seeing a three-year-old running around singing a worship song from memory, worshiping God because they've done it before and they love God. They love worship. And I've seen many kids and teens make the decision to follow Jesus. They know it's real. And then they show other people that they made that decision by being baptized in water. The hope is real. We can look to the kids. We can look to the teens. We can look to the next generation to know that the hope is real. See, Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples, but he also decided to make time for those kids. He cared about them. Jesus had hope for that younger generation, and he has hope for your generation. He has hope for the next generation of teens, of kids. He has hope for the next generation of people that are going to follow Jesus. But how do we know our hope is real? I need another volunteer that really likes soda. Like, anyone here really likes soda? Raise your hand. I need somebody. I'm going to give you some soda to drink right now. So raise your hand. Anyone likes soda in here? Anyone? Anyone? No one? Maybe somebody looking. Oh, over there. Awesome. Come on up. I don't know your name. What's your name? Megan? Everyone give it up for Megan. Okay. Now, I have this contraption. It's the Sodanator 3000C. And what is inside of it is Dr. Pepper. Is Dr. Pepper, have you had Dr. Pepper before? Okay, good. So she knows what Dr. Pepper tastes like. Right here, I have a straw. So here's a straw for you. There, the more Diet Coke. Well, let's see if she's able to figure out what Dr. Pepper really is. Now, there's three bottles. 3 2-liters of Dr. Pepper in here, but only one of them is Dr. Pepper. The other two are off-brand Dr. Peppers. They're not real. So what you're going to have to do is I have these cards that say one is real, two of them are fake, that you're going to take some drinks out of all of them, and I need you to put the cards on it so that you know what is real, what's fake. Here, I'll move it a little bit. There we go. Okay, now, while she's doing this, we get to actually see which one's real and which one's fake. So don't give her any hints. I'm going to open this up. Now, you guys see where the real Dr. Pepper is, right? Okay, so Megan, she said she's nervous. Now, you can start tasting it. Start tasting it. Whatever ones you want, you can put the cards on right away. You can switch them. You can go ahead, start drinking the Dr. Pepper. Or the not Dr. Pepper. We're going to see if she can figure out what's real and what's fake. She's drinking it. She's thinking a bit. You can take as much time as you want. Figure it out. Take as much soda as you want. You can just sit here and drink it the whole service. That's cool. If you'd like. There we go. Starting to figure it out. Getting a good taste on it. She's more of a Diet Coke person, so I don't know if she'll know Dr. Pepper. What are you thinking? You got the cards right there. You can go ahead and place them when you feel like you know it. Don't give her any hints. Let's see. Will she be able to figure it out? She's grabbing the cards. She thinks she knows it. Saying the real one is on the far left. Middle one is fake. Right side is fake. Let's see. Unfortunately, Megan, you're wrong. So close. Give it up for Megan. She did a great job. The real one was in the middle. That's the real Dr. Pepper. You thought the Dr. Thunder was real, which, I mean, it might be good. Yeah, it had a sweeter taste. Oh, I see. She did a good job trying to figure out what's real and fake. Give it up for Megan one more time. Now, it is hard sometimes to know if something is real or fake. See, Megan tried to taste, but she didn't really know what was real or fake because she didn't really know Dr. Pepper really that well. If it was Diet Coke, maybe she would have been able to figure out which one was real or fake. Now, in a similar way, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, to taste and see that the Lord is good. They had to do something to discover what was real and what was fake. See, in the same way, the disciples had to realize that the hope in Jesus wasn't just for them and their generation, that the hope found in Jesus is for everyone. We can all have that hope. But first, we must choose to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So, what can we have hope in? hope is found in Jesus. See, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And if that's all that Jesus did, if all he did was die and then nothing happened after that, the disciples, they probably would have given up hope. We would have no hope for today. But last week we celebrated Easter and we realized that Jesus didn't stay dead, that 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. The disciples, they got to see Jesus firsthand. They knew that he had come back to life, that the hope was real. Because Jesus conquered death, we can have hope in him. That is our real living hope. See, no matter how hard our lives get, how messed up the next generation might seem, how the world might seem doomed forever because of what's going on, we can still have hope in the resurrection. The fact that Jesus came back to life. But what about today? We don't get to see Jesus in person. How do we know that that hope is still real? See, 2 years ago, here at Focus Church, we started to ask the question, what's in your hand? And even though that as a church, we know that we're supposed to impact the community, we're supposed to do a lot more to impact our community, we were asking ourselves, what can we do right now with what we have? And that's how we started doing Burst Thursday. We made a place for parents to bring their kids that when school gets out early, 2 hours, 2 hours early on Thursdays compared to every other school day, that those kids can come here and have a safe place to be. See, what's crazy, we've seen God grow that program from 18 kids to over 100. And many of those kids that have been to Burst Thursday, they've started coming to our church. Now, just a little over 2 months ago, Focus Church helped out at the Winter Festival at Royal Oaks Elementary School across the street. And at this Winter Festival, there was families, all the families of the students were invited just to have a good time, get some food, play some games. And the family that was organizing the whole event, they asked us if we could have some volunteers come over. See, their kids actually came to Burst Thursday every single week. So they knew that we had people willing to help out. So we sent a team of volunteers to go over to the Winter Festival at Royal Oaks. And one of the dads of the students at that school was Jason. You see, Jason, he grew up going to church, but he wondered if this hope in Jesus was real. Let's go ahead and watch his story.
Hi, I'm Jason. This is my story. So I grew up in the church, but when I got to my teenage years, the question, is this hope real or is it fake? My conclusion was that it's fake. And what I did was I ran. I ran from God hard. Like anything and everything that I could do, I did it. You know, I won't go into detail about that. But it was not fulfilling. It was, I kept searching and searching and searching. You know, what can I do next? Either whether it was a rebellion or not, you know, what can I do? A couple of years ago, I was blessed with the house here in Sun Prairie, which allowed my daughter to go to Royal Oaks. She made some friends, you know, and those friends invited her to Focus Church's First Thursdays. You know, she begged me and begged me for months, and I said no. But she looked at me with those puppy dog eyes, and I finally said, sure, okay, free childcare, you know. It's like, if you want to go off and do that for a couple hours, whatever. She loved it. She came back and wanted to go again and again, and I let her. One night at Royal Oaks, there was a winter carnival, and I started talking to one of my daughter's friends' mothers. She was talking about how she was gonna go on this trip to Thailand coming up. And, you know, talking about her church family. Something inside me was like, I want that, you know. I want a church family. I miss my family, you know. When I was running, you know, I lost communications, not directly, but, you know, I couldn't talk to my mom on a level that she wanted to talk to me on. So I visited Focus Church. You know, at first I didn't know what to expect. I listened while they worshiped. I didn't sing, but I did read the words. And I found myself, you know, almost on the verge of tears. I'm a big guy. Why am I crying reading some words on a screen? I ended up coming back to Jesus, you know, after a couple of visits. I decided to make Jesus the leader of my life. You know, my whole family came up for that. That was exciting, get baptized. And since then, even before that, Jesus had started working in my life, you know, reading my Bible, actually picking up those religious books that my mom would give me that I would just throw in the closet. So if you're like me, and you're wondering if that hope is real, it is. I'm proof that it's real. 100%. He has changed me, and if he can reach me, you know, the sinner that did everything he could possibly do, he can change you too. And if you're a parent and your child has started running from God, don't give up hope. I ran for 30 years and couldn't outrun them. You know, keep praying. Don't give up that hope. It's real. And I'm proof.
See, Jason came back to God, and God changed his life. See, Jason's story is proof that hope is real. Why? Because our hope is found in Jesus. It's not about who we are, what we've done, where you've come from, how old or young you are. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. You see, I want you to be able to embrace this truth, this statement for yourself. I know that hope is real. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace, because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, is hope real? Yes, we have hope in Jesus. We can have hope for the next generation. We can have hope for those who are lost. We can have hope when we don't know how to solve the Rubik's Cube. We can have hope no matter what. Will you taste and see that the hope in Jesus is the real thing and not fake? You've got to experience it for yourself. Let's take a moment and let's talk to God. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to earth. Thank you for giving us this hope that can only be from you. God, I thank you for being there with us through everything. Help us to remember that no matter what situation we're in, how stuck we feel, how lost we feel, how long gone someone might be, that we can still have hope. And we can have hope because you sent your son to pay the price for us. But Jesus didn't stay dead. We can have hope in the resurrection. God, we thank you for all you've done for us and all you're going to do for us, God. God, we thank you for the story that Jason shared. Help us to have hope, God. Now, while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, I said at the beginning of this message that if you're looking for hope or purpose to your life, that you'll get an opportunity to receive that hope. We've been talking about how our hope is in Jesus. And that hope starts with a decision. You see, there's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness for our sins. There's nothing we can do to earn being part of God's family. But God did something for us already. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us, to pay the price for our sin, so we could be forgiven, so we can be set free, so we can be part of God's family. See, the work's already been done. The hope is already there. But we have to do our part. We have to recognize that, yes, Jesus did that for me. Not only do I recognize that, but God, I want to follow you. I want to make you in charge of my life. I want to put my hope in you. And the way we do that is in a two-part deal. And the first part is prayer. Prayer is having that conversation with God to make that decision, which is where everything changes. But the second part is water baptism. And that's where we get to share with our Focus family that we made that decision. We go public with the decision that we made in private. But that first part is prayer, and I want to do that with you right now. So what's going to happen is I'm going to say a few words at a time, and you're going to repeat out loud after me. But I want to invite the entire Focus Church family to pray with us, because that's what we do. We're about helping people find God's place in their life. So let's start. Say, "Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Hope, give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen."